Well, I want to welcome you again this week as we continue our journey into faith and pressing towards what I'm calling now Jesus meetings. I thank God for every church where they're preaching Christ and Him crucified. Thank God for everybody who gets saved, everybody who gets delivered, healed, blessed in any way. I thank God for that. But I wonder if Jesus would recognize a lot of our church services as being a Jesus meeting. Because when I read about His, and as we all read about His in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, we see Him teaching, all right. He said He would teach and He would preach, but then He would heal. And I did a message a few weeks ago about where I went through just the Gospel of Matthew to make sure I didn't repeat any services. And we looked at 7 different Jesus meetings. Can I say that? 7 different meetings where He was fully in charge and through His own body. And in those 7 meetings, He healed them all. And Jesus says, if you've seen Me, you've seen the Father. Well, not many of our church services today do we see them all healed. I thank God for everyone that is healed. But I know, and plus now we've got prophecy also on it now, but I've known always that if Jesus has His way, they'll all be healed. And like we say, first time, every time, no exceptions. Jesus, You healed them all then, You healed them all now, because the Bible is just very clear that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So, now, it may seem, at first, like today's lesson is a departure from Mark chapter 4, but it's really not. He's still dealing with me and with us about we have this treasure in earthen vessels and earthen soil. The sower sows the word. We are the soil, without doubt. And see, the Word is always full of power. The Word doesn't change. The Word is eternal. Again, from the book of Hebrews, the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Well, that word quick means it's alive and powerful. The Word is often compared to a seed. Every seed has within itself the power to fully manifest the image that's on the inside of the seed. Well, the ultimate seed that God sowed in us as believers is Christ. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God, all things were made by Him, without Him was not anything made that was made, no, not one single thing, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. But see, now the Word has been sown in you, Mr. and Mrs. Ground. Mr. Ground Gary, the problem is with the ground. And that's why Jesus in Mark chapter 4 said, if you don't understand this parable, you're not going to understand really any of them, because it is foundational to manifesting the kingdom of God on earth. Now, I've got a few notes today, and I'm going to stay with them pretty good, because I trust the Holy Spirit to help me prepare these lessons, and I don't want to leave anything out. For today, let's look at it. Now, it looks like I'm leaving Mark 4, but I'm not. We're going to be right back there in a minute. But open up to Mark 9:23, and this is in the story of the man who brought his son, who was, the Bible calls him lunatic. He might have had epilepsy, whatever it was. He had seizures, and it would throw him on the ground, and he'd foam at the mouth and wallow in the fire. And I know you've heard that story many, many times. And Jesus makes an astounding statement. And see, I'm trusting that you've had so much teaching on these passages that I don't have to relay a lot of foundation, because we're going somewhere. And if we have to relay the foundation, we're never going to get to the roof. So anyway, so I'm really going to pick on one verse today out of Mark 9, and it's this one, Mark 9:23. Jesus said to that father, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. Now let's think about that for a moment. This is a Jewish man. He has a covenant with God, even in the Old Covenant. God had revealed himself as Jehovah Rapha. I am the Lord that healeth thee. They had a covenant of healing. See, the verse prior to this that I didn't have you read, it says, the man said to Jesus, if you can do anything, have mercy on us, have compassion on us, and help us. If you can do anything, well, Jesus puts it right back, said, listen, if you can believe, all things are possible to him that believes. And this man had a covenant with God. Really, Jesus is telling him, if you could believe the covenant that you have with God, the one you've heard about in the synagogue your whole life, if you can believe that covenant, your son would already be delivered. Let's look at it again. If you can believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. Now let's for a moment, just for a moment, go with me back to Mark chapter 4. You're the ground. The Word is always the Word. The Word doesn't change. Every Word of God has the image, the end result, the promise, the manifestation, if you'll allow me, of what you need. The power is already in the seed, just like every corn seed, every wheat seed has the power in it to produce the image. Well, there's power in God's Word to produce healing and deliverance. See? But you got to believe it. We're the ground. We're the ground. We can't. Thank God we can't do anything about the Word, see? I mean, Pastor Dave would say God doesn't change, His Word doesn't change, the devil doesn't change. But thank God we can change. We're the ground. Stones can be removed, thorns can be burned up, ground, hard ground can be plowed soft. You, through the Holy Spirit, you can get rain on your ground, you know, it becomes fertile. All right, so let's just read that one more time. Because it's so important for today's lesson. If you can believe, ground. This is what's required, ground. If you can believe, all things are possible to him that believes. Now see, that's so important to us for our mission at the prayer center, especially where we're believing for Jesus meetings, a supernatural revival with the manifestations, just where Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are once more seen in the earth, were the same, just like Jesus said, the works that I do shall you do also, so that the world will have something to look at. Jesus said, well, you can believe me, or believe me for the very work's sake. In other words, you can see the end result, but the church at large has not been able to say that to the world. We're saying, well, believe us, and they're going, well, show us. Well, Jesus showed them. And we're supposed to show them, you know. All right, let's look at this same event over in Matthew's Gospel. Go to Matthew 17 just for a moment. And let's look at verses 19 and 20. So then came the disciples to Jesus apart. That means privately. I like how Dave says, well, they knew if they asked him publicly, he'd answer publicly. And they didn't want to hear the answer publicly. So then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, why could not we cast him out? And Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief. Now read the rest of it. For verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing, here we go again, nothing shall be impossible to you. See, if you can believe, nothing shall be impossible to you. It's really saying the same thing that he said to that father. If you can believe, all things are possible. Same thing. But now notice, when they brought him to Jesus, Jesus cast that devil out in short order, and the boy was delivered. Now listen, Jesus only ever did the will of the Father. So when he cast that devil out of that boy, what does that tell you? Well, it was the will of the Father that boy be delivered. It's always the will of the Father. That means, now listen, it was the will of God to deliver that boy when that boy's earthly father prayed. He had a covenant. He had a covenant with God. It was the will of God, just his earthly father pray, based on the covenant that they had. It was the will of God that boy be delivered. Now get this. Well, the father prayed, and obviously it didn't happen, so he brings it to the disciples. He had heard that the disciples had this ability to heal and deliver. So at least he had enough faith to bring the boy to the disciples. But then the disciples, when they prayed, they couldn't get that devil out. They couldn't get the boy delivered. But now get this. It was the will of God that the boy be delivered when the father prayed. It was the will of God that the boy be delivered when the disciples prayed. Why didn't it happen when the earthly father prayed? Unbelief. Well, why didn't it happen when the disciples prayed? Jesus plainly told them, because of your unbelief. Well, why did it happen when Jesus prayed? No unbelief. There was no unbelief in him. Now, this is a hard truth that we don't like to accept, but it's a truth anyway. Unbelief holds back the power of God. Unbelief holds back the power to manifest the will of God on planet Earth. It was the will of God that boy be delivered when the earthly father prayed. It was the will of God that the boy be delivered when the disciples prayed. And there's only one thing that held back the power of God, and that was their unbelief. But when Jesus prayed, there was no unbelief, and the power of God flowed. Now, we don't like to admit this, but our unbelief holds back the power of an almighty God. You get thrown out of a lot of churches with that statement, but that's just exactly what Jesus said. Why didn't it happen when we prayed? It's because of your unbelief. Now, I could go on and teach right there on prayer and fasting, but today we're going to just focus on believing. I want to keeping Mark 4 in mind about the ground. See, if there's no believing, then the ground is messed up. There's nothing wrong with the Word. The Word always has the power to deliver. It's the ground. It's the unbelief. See, and this is so important to us because in order that we walk in this supernatural revival where the works of God are manifest just like they were in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Jesus said in John 14:12, I know you'd probably know it by heart, but I want to read it again. It's what teachers do, you know. You didn't learn your multiplication tables by saying them once. You didn't learn your ABCs by saying them once. John 14:12. See, we're talking about believing. How important is this? Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me. He starts it off with that statement. He that believeth on me. The works that I do shall he do also, and greater than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. He that believeth on me, though. The ground, us, how we think, our faith, has everything to do with believing. Let's look at one more. Go over to John 6. You're already in John. Go to John 6 for a moment. Let's look at verses 28 and 29. Because the people said to him, then said they unto him, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? If there was ever a question that kind of sums up the prayer center and everybody connected with us, that's the question. And what must we do that we may work the works of God? We want to see the same works as Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. We want to see Jesus meetings where they all get healed. First time, every time, no exceptions. What must we do, Lord, that we may work the works of God? Jesus answered and said unto them, now they asked plural, what must we do that we may work the works, plural, of God? But he answers singular. He said, this is the work. Singular. This is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he has sent. Can't get away from the believing part. If the ground is going to produce the fruit from the word being sown, the ground has got to be believing ground. It's got to be believing ground. It can't have unbelief. That's why the disciples, even though they had been singularly called out and anointed by Jesus himself to cast out devils and heal the sick, still, they had unbelief that held back the fruit. I don't think it's any different today. We've got to deal with unbelief. so that our ground becomes hundredfold. See, in the parable of the sower, again, there's never a problem with the Word of God. Listen, God's Word is full of power. It is alive. God's Word, even though if I held my Bible up here and it looks like, you know, black ink on white paper, and it looks like a book, like any other book, but it's not like any other book. The Word of God is alive. It's a living thing. It's got power. It's throbbing and pulsating really with power. But it has to be believed for that power to be released. Where the soil? The Word doesn't change is the point. The Word does not change. But thank God the soil can be plowed. It can be rocks removed. Thorns can be removed. Rain can come and soften it. And it can be plowed up and become fertile ground. And that's why Jesus said, he says, it really boils down to what can you believe? See? Go over to Mark 4, verse 20. I know I'm preaching to people that probably has heard 100 messages on Mark chapter 4, so we don't have to relay all the foundation again. Thank God. We'll never get there if we do. But look at Mark 4, verse 20. See, this is the end result. The end result of the parable is fruit. These are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word and receive it. Now notice, and bring forth fruit. Some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. Well, the disciples, they had some fruit. If you go look at the chronology in the Gospels, before they ever prayed for that lunatic boy, they had already been casting out devils and healing the sick. They were having fruit. They were having some percentage of success. I don't know how much. I don't know whether it's 30, 60, but it wasn't hundredfold. Why? Because they couldn't get that one healed. They couldn't get that one delivered. So there's some measure of unbelief. You know, I don't want to divert too much on this, but I've seen people that are pretty good at believing for prosperity. They just believe God will bless them, and he does. But, you know, they're sick all the time. I know others that are healthy and just know God is their healer and God takes good care of them, you know, and they believe that, but they have trouble paying the bills. So it's not just, you know, 30, 60, 100 fold. It can be in different areas. You know, you might be strong in one area and kind of weak in another. But let's be laser focused on the assignment that we have from the Lord. And that's this outpouring, this revival that Jesus meetings manifested in the earth again, where Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are seen not just here, but around the world. It's a Mount Carmel experience again, the God who answers by fire, the God who answers by demonstration, the God that you can see the results. Jesus said, believe me for the very work's sake. God, we need to do that. This world needs to see that again. And we're just exactly the generation that's going to demonstrate it to them. So Mark 4, verse 20 again, I'm going to read it, and then I'm going to be turned into Romans 12. We're going to kind of put these two things together. These are they which are sown on good ground. Now see, today's lesson, I'm not going to back up and talk about stony ground and thorny ground and hard ground and all those things. You've already heard messages on that. See, none of that kind of ground is going to produce any fruit, to be honest with you. That's what he said. They don't produce any fruit. The word becomes unfruitful. Unfruitful means no fruit. But even on good ground, what's that mean? Well, we've got a lot of rocks gone, thorns burn up, rain has come, ground has been plowed, but it's still not perfect. But bless God, there's some fruit, maybe 30-fold, maybe 60-fold. We're pressing towards 100-fold. So he says, these are they which are sown on good ground, and I know if you're listening to this, you're good ground, such as hear the word, receive it, and bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. Well, we're all pressing towards 100. Now see, in my mind, the Holy Spirit inspired the Apostle Paul to say that same thing in a singular verse, and that's Romans 12, verse 2. Be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Well, that's what we want. Remember a while ago I said it was the will of God that that boy be delivered when his earthly father prayed. He had a covenant. Well, but he couldn't bring it forth. Why? Unbelief. But it's the will of God. And he's got a covenant. He's got a word from God. I've got a covenant. But unbelief held back the will of God. So he brings him to the disciples. He'd heard that the disciples had been casting out devils and healing the sick. But they couldn't do it either, even though it was the will of God. They couldn't prove it. See, it says that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Well, it's a perfect will of God that that boy be delivered. When the earthly father prayed, when the disciples prayed, God didn't just all of a sudden change his mind when Jesus prayed, say, oh, now it's my will to heal him. No, it was his will to heal him the whole time. But they couldn't prove it. Why? Unrenewed mind. It was renewed partly, but not renewed enough to get that one delivered. Changing what we believe has everything to do with changing how we think. See, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. I like to say it this way. Faith believes what God says. See, how do you know there's a heaven? Well, the Word of God tells me there is. I've never been there. I don't know anybody that's ever been there. You can't beat it out of me with rifle butts. So, Gary, is there a heaven? Yes. Smack. We're telling you there's not a heaven. Smack, smack. Nope, there's a heaven. Smack. Why are you so adamant about that? Well, the Word of God tells me. I'd have to lie to say there's no heaven. God says there's a heaven. Well, how about hell? There's no hell. Yeah, there's a hell. Smack. We're smack, smack. We're telling you there is no hell. You can't beat it out of me. Gary, how do you know there's a hell? Well, the Word of God tells me. Faith comes by hearing what God says. And faith is just believing what God says, see? Well, renewing the mind really is changing what we think to believe what God thinks. Now, I'm going to share with you portions from a lesson that the Lord gave me many, many years ago. We're going back to the early days. I hear that old, come away with me to those thrilling days of yesteryear. This is all the way back to the days when I was still driving the trucks and praying about 60 hours a week and 40 to 60. I don't want to exaggerate. My schedule varied how many hours I was in that truck, you know. But it was a lot. It was a lot. I was hearing a lot from the Lord, really learning in those days. And I was getting ready to leave for a trip to California to deliver some trucks out there. And I wanted to get some confessions ready ahead of time, so I could practice on those while I was driving the trucks. You don't always just pray. Sometimes you spend time confessing the word. And I was learning more and more about that. And thank God for all of the generals in the body of Christ that taught on that. So I'm just going to read you a few of these. This is an old thing that I printed way back in 1994. And I thank God that I did. And so I've still got the record of it. And so I was just making up some confessions, and every one of these is in line with the Word of God. I could give you scripture, multiple scriptures for every sentence. I'm just going to give you a few of them so that you'll get a flavor of how this started. So I was just saying, I thank you, Father, for invading my thought patterns concerning the areas of finances and investment. I thank you for giving us knowledge. More knowledge about you, Father. I thank you for giving me everything that I need to provide for my family. I thank you, Lord. Let's see. Here's one that says, I just put one down. Avenge me of my adversary, you know, from the story in the Bible. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for guiding me into all truth. Thank you for your wisdom. I receive your instruction gladly and eagerly. Thank you for, these are all good things, you know. I'm thanking him for his grace. I thanked him for health. I thanked him for good things. And I had 15 of them that I had on this page, and every one of them is good. There's not a thing wrong with them. They're all good and godly. I'm just going to read you what I wrote here later, though. It says, once I was out on the road and been confessing these things, just exactly like I wrote them, I kept getting this grieving in my spirit. In fact, the more I confessed, the worse the grieving became. I finally asked the Lord, I said, what's wrong? You turn the page. All of these statements are based either on your written word or on things you have said to me personally. Why do I have this grieving in my spirit? Oh, I heard the Holy Spirit say to me, and I'm going to read it word for word, this is not good enough. It will not get the job done. There is a time for worship and thanking God for everything. But the kind of confession that transforms the soul must be more affirmative than this. It must be just like Abraham's. I am the father of many nations. That little paragraph has changed my life. It's still changing my life. You know, God had to change Abraham's name to get this to work. Let me just digress from my notes here for a minute. I don't know how far we'll get today, but it's important that we get everything really solid. See, this is a miracle of major proportions. When God changed Abram's name to Abraham, he was already 99 years old. Sarah was about 90, as I remember. Plainly tells us that for Sarah, it was past the time of the way of women, meaning, plain English, I mean, that's a real nice King James way of saying, Sarah was no longer ovulating. There was no egg to be fertilized. Well, if there's no egg, it's really hard to have a baby, you know. And we also know at age 99, at this point in Abram's life, he wasn't the hot rod that he used to be, because when God tells them later that they're going to have a baby, she laughed and she says, shall I again have pleasure from my husband? Again, a real nice King James way of letting us know Abraham was not quite the hot rod that he used to be. His wife was not able to receive pleasure in the same way as before. Okay, that's enough. Physically, this was impossible. Yet all things are possible to him that believes. Now, a long time prior to this, God had given Abraham and Sarah a vision. You remember that? He had taken them out on a starry night in the desert and had them look at the stars. Abram, can you imagine in the desert in those days with no electricity and no lights and from cities or anything? Can you imagine looking up and seeing the stars? God says, can you count all those stars? No, I can't count all those. Lord, there's no way I could count them. Your seed, your children, your descendants are going to number like that. What a promise. And God doesn't change his promise. And here Abram is 99 and he still doesn't have a child. Well, not him and Sarah together. And he doesn't have it at 99. And now it looks impossible because he's not the hot rod he used to be. Sarah is not even ovulating anymore. There's no egg to be fertilized. But still, God has not changed his promise. Now, all things are possible to him that believes. So God gave him hope. And remember, faith is the substance of things hoped for. God gave him hope many years before. With that vision, he still got the vision. He still, okay, I know what you said, but it sure looks impossible now. But now God does something very unusual. God changes his name. He changes his name from Abram to Abraham. And in English, that doesn't mean anything to us. But if you look it up in the Hebrew, Abraham means I am the father of a multitude. It does not mean I will be. It says, I am. I am the Father of a multitude. You know, there's nothing more personal than your name. My name is Gary Carpenter. If I'm in a busy airport and, looking for my, just whatever I'm doing, going to my gate or looking at my tickets or whatever, and I, over the intercom, I hear paging John Doe. I don't even hardly hear that. You know, I mean, that doesn't apply to me because that's not my name. That's not who I am. I am not John Doe. It's not who I am. Calling Bruce Smith, don't even notice it at all. You know, that's not who I am. Sure, if they call Mary Jane, that's certainly not who I am. But all of a sudden, I hear paging Gary Carpenter. Well, suddenly you've got my attention. See, because your name has everything to do with who you are. Well, I am Gary Carpenter. So now, when God changes his name from Abram to Abraham, he's changing. See, God's in the habit of this. He changed Jacob to Israel. Isn't that right? He changed, even in the New Testament, he changed from Simon to Peter, the rock. Simon means a reed. Rock means a rock. Peter means a rock. God has changed who we am, who we are. We've got to learn to answer to a different name, see? What do you answer to when the page goes out calling for the poor, to the discouraged, to the downhearted? What do we answer to? God has changed who we are. He's changed our name. That's what he was trying to tell me with those confessions. Those are all fine, and you can worship God and thank God for all of the wonderful things he's done for you. But see, we're talking about renewing the mind. We're talking about becoming ground that really believes. And what that means is, believe what? Well, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. We've got to believe that we are who God says we are. See, for years and years and years, I thought my name was Old Sinner Saved by Grace. I mean, you're just an old sinner saved by grace. Boy, I mean, that's exactly who I thought I was. I'm just an old sinner saved by grace. Why? Because that's what I heard from the pulpit growing up all those years in churches. They love God. I don't mean to disparage them, but they were preaching at the level of the understanding they had. Thank God they preached the cross and people get saved there. I got saved there. But they also taught that you're just an old sinner saved by grace. In other words, you're not really changed. You're just forgiven now. You're that same old sinner. You're just forgiven. Listen, that's just not what the Bible teaches. And that's not the subject today, but my Bible says, no, I was an old sinner. I got saved by grace, but now I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I have been made free from sin. I'm not still an old sinner. I have a choice now. I'm not a slave to sin. I'm a slave to righteousness, and I choose to live that way. And I have the right to choose to live that way because the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. And, you know, I don't answer anymore to calling all sinners saved by grace. Nope. And I don't answer to that. If they say calling all sons of God, here I come. I am a son of God. See that confession? I am a son of God. Not going to be. I am a son of God. I'm learning to do that with healing. I am healed, not going to be. I am healed. My faith has got to be like Abraham's. Abraham's was think about it. He had to go through ridicule. He had to go through, his own mind probably at first called him a liar. What do you mean going around saying you're the father of a multitude when you and Sarah never have had one baby? And now you're 99 years old and she's 90? And you're going around telling everybody you're the father of a multitude. Why are you doing that? Well, that's who God said I am. I am. He didn't say I'm going to be. He said I am. So I say I am. I am the father of a multitude. You might see, see me with symptoms of some kind, say, Gary, are you sick? Hopefully, I'll say, I'm healed. Why do you say that? Yeah, I can tell by looking at you that you're sick. Well, you're going by the outward manifestation, but I'm going by the Word of God, which plainly says, by His stripes, I was healed. Well, if I was healed, then I am healed. Yeah, but I can see the symptoms on your body. Well, I don't care what you see. I am healed. I'll be healed the next time you see me. But I am healed. And I, because the Word of God says I am. See, that's soil now. That's believing soil. Or the seed now. Can the power that's in that seed, the Word of God, can germinate. And the life, first the blade, then the ear, then the full corn in the ear, starting to come forward now. And you got to let that seed come to maturity. You can't, you know, start off like that, and then a few days later, oh, this pain, I must not really be healed. Well, now you've just uprooted the seed. You're going to have to, you got to start all over again. That's okay. Start all over again. You can replant fields. Hey, I grew up around, most of my relatives were farmers growing up. Yeah, you can replant your field. They replant fields all the time. It's not unusual. So God was teaching me here about making confessions like Abraham's that are strong. See, we got to get this. I'm getting a hesitation about sharing that yet. That may be next week. We'll see. But listen. Let me ask you this. If God didn't think it was necessary to change Abram's name, why did he do it? Say it another way. Would the miracle have happened if he had not have gotten Abraham to speak in line with the promise? I say it another way. See, because every time Abraham says, I am, you know, when it's your name, you can't lie about it, you know. See, if I walk up and I say, hello, my name is Fred, immediately there's a grieving on the inside of me because I know that that's not my name. You liar. You're not, you know, you're not Fred. Why do you say that? You know your name. I am Gary. Well, but God changed Abram's name to Abraham. And he can't say anything different and stay true to God. So he has to walk up. People that's known him forever. Hi, Abram, how you doing? Well, I'm doing fine, but I just got to tell you, my name's not Abram anymore. Oh, it's not. What is it now? My name is Abraham. And as soon as he says that, they know that means I am the father of a multitude. And they're looking at this old man who's 99, looking past him at his wife. She's 90. A couple of dried up old prunes, if you'll allow me. And they're going, have you been working out in the sun? You know, did you work without your turban? You know? Abraham had to stay with what God said about him. I am the father of a multitude. Had to be some ridicule. At first, his own spirit, you know, when you change your name, you're changing the core of who you are. At first, he probably had that, you're not Abraham. You know who you are. You ever had that? You're not a child of God. The original ones were right. You're just an old sinner saved by grace. Oh, yeah, I remember going through that. But I kept at it. See, you'll never get me to go back to that now. Why? My mind has been renewed. My name has been changed in that arena. I am not an old sinner. You can try and put that name on me. It won't work. I am a child of God. I've been born again. I've been born of God's Spirit. I have the nature of God on the inside of me. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I love righteousness and I hate iniquity. See how it just flows? Why? Because it's been renewed over a period of time. I don't answer to a sinner. Calling all sinners saved by grace, I don't answer to that. That's like calling Joe Blow at the airport. Nope, that's not my name. That's not who I am. See? They call for the healed now. Calling all healed, that's me. How about calling all anointed? Working on that one. Hallelujah. I hope you're getting something out of this. When they change your name, you're changing fundamentally who you answer. what you answer to, who you are, everything about you. And God himself thought it necessary to renew Abram's mind and Sarah. He changed her name too, you know. Originally, her name was Sarai and changed it to Sarah. Well, Sarah means princess. No, queen could mean, you know, pretty elderly. But princess, you don't think of elderly. You think of, princess, someone who's going to give birth to the heir to the throne. See, he changed her name too. I can't get past this. Every time I start to go past it, I get a check from the Holy Spirit. I'm going to say it again. I may say it 10 different ways. Your name is who you are. It's who you answer to. It's what you answer to. At first, for when Abraham says, I am Abraham, it probably his soul argued with him. No, you're not. You're Abram. 99 years, you've been Abram. You know who you are. Mm-hmm. Well, Abram didn't have any kids, did he? And it's not for lack of trying. Anyway, Abram didn't have any kids. God had to change his whole identity. You are no longer that guy. You are Abraham. You are Abraham. You are the father of a multitude. And I don't want you saying anything different, because you are who I say you are. Thank God Abraham and Sarah were obedient enough. From that point on now, you ask them, who are you? I am the father of a multitude. I am the princess who will give birth to the heir, you know, for Sarah. Wow. That's who I am. That's what I answer to. And see, the power, what God said to them, the power was there the whole time. But by changing, first he gave them hope, but then by changing their name, he's literally changing what they believe about themselves. Their mind is being renewed. I am Abraham. I am the father of multitude. Well, why do you say that? Because that's what God said. See, and that's the essence of faith. Faith believes what God said when all natural evidence goes against it. I am Abraham. I am the father of a multitude. Okay, I am going to get to start on my list here now. So he had me go back and redo much of those confessions. I'm going to add some more to it now. After all, from the 90s till now, I've learned a few things. But how about this? See, you know what? Yes, sir. Okay, I can't help it. I just work here. I can't go past what he shows me. What did God say about himself when Moses, you know, went to burning bush and God gave him the instruction to go to Pharaoh and to tell Pharaoh to let God's people go? Well, Moses says, well, who shall I tell him sent me? It's amazing what God says. You tell him, I am that I am. I am that I am has sent you. In other words, the all-sufficient one, the I am, the one that has no beginning, has no end, the source of everything. I like how Dave says, well, when did God start? Well, if you could go back millennia to the very beginning and millennia before that, he was always there. Has no beginning. We have trouble with that. Has no beginning, has no end. I am that I am. See, God, through all of his redemptive names, notice, God telling us who he is, he revealed himself. He says, I love Jehovah Rapha. I am the Lord that healeth thee. Well, if he am the Lord that heals Gary, then what does Gary say about himself? I, Gary, am healed. Because I am has healed me. By the stripes of Jesus, I was healed. Therefore, I am healed. Yeah, but what about if you have pain? Himself bore my sicknesses and carried my pains. I am pain-free. But what if you have pain? I am pain-free. Now, don't get me wrong. If I go to a doctor, I'm going to give a doctor the worldly report. But when I'm standing and making confession before my God, I am healed. I am healed. And if I can hold to that, my confession to the doctor will be the same eventually. I am healed. I am pain-free. Got to remember, Abraham was not allowed to change his name for anybody. I am the father of a multitude. And what happened? The power of God's promise changed the natural circumstances. Abraham become a hot rod again. You know, afterwards, Sarah eventually passed on and Abraham remarried. Do you know he had more children? Somebody said, I didn't count it up this time, but he had quite a few. Somebody said he got overhealed. I like that. Yeah, he really got healed. But anyway, the power in the Word through faith, because Abraham believed. Well, what caused him to believe? A big part of it was changing his name so that every time he said who he was, he was renewing his mind to agree with what God had already said. It's Romans 12:2. By the renewing of the mind, don't be conformed to this world. Well, the world says you can't have a baby when the wife is not ovulating and the man is 99 and past being a hot rod anymore. Okay? The world says that you can't. God says all things are possible to him that believes. Well, how are we going to go from an unbelieving world to a believing child of God? You got to believe what God says. Got to believe what God says. He has changed our name. We just don't realize it. See, Gary is a son of God now. Gary, I answer to, if they're on the pager at the airport, calling all sons of God. Boy, my ear goes right up. I heard that. Here I am. Where do I report? Calling all healed. I heard that. Calling all blessed. Calling all prospered. Calling all anointed. Boy, I don't know if you're getting blessed. I'm really getting blessed. Man, I'm liking this stuff. Okay, I'm going to just start on this list. After I got back off of that trip, of course, and I'm going through and I'm studying, I'm trying to make up a list of I ams, because our confession needs to be like Abraham's. Well, Abraham's was, I am the father of a multitude. So I just started making this list, and it starts off with, see, I had to recognize that God is the great I am. I am that I am. Because of him, I can make all of these statements. But say it another way, because of him and the finished work of Jesus Christ, I can make all of these statements. Yeah. My very first one, because of you, Lord, because you are the I am, and because of the finished work of Christ, I am alive. See, I'm no longer spiritually dead. I am alive. Second one, I am raised from the dead species of Adam. I am born of your spirit. I am your child. I am seated in Christ at your right hand. How about this one? I am free from sin. That'll get you thrown out of a lot of churches. That's exactly what Romans 6 says and many other places. Having then been made free from sin. I am saved from hell. I am saved from hell. I'm never going there. I am not ashamed of the gospel. And I am not. I am not ashamed of the gospel. I'll preach the gospel. I mean, anywhere, anytime, any place. I'm not ashamed of it. It is the power of God unto salvation. Now this one, in some areas of my life, I'm still working on this one. Some 30, some 60, some 100-fold. First the blade, then the ear, then the full corn in the ear. I am healed. I want to put these two together. I am healed and I am pain-free. All right, now let's teach. Let's talk for a minute. Gary, are you constantly in the natural pain-free? No, I'm not. Most of you know that I've had an issue with my back for a long time. Now I've been going through some medical procedures trying to help that. I do believe in doctors. I don't think it's an accident that Luke, the beloved physician, is included in the Gospels. I thank God for any help they can give us. But ultimately, God says, I am the Lord that healeth thee. I will bless your bread. I will bless your water. I will take sickness away from the midst of thee. And then by the stripes of Jesus, we were healed, which means I am healed. Now see, I'm just going to, since I love you and I'm not trying to put on airs anyway, big part of my problem is my mouth. Because I'll do pretty good for a little while. I'll teach a good lesson like this. And bless God, you just talk to me and ask me. And it doesn't matter the pain that's in my back. I'll say, I am healed. I am pain free. And I'll do pretty good for a while. But then, and I'll slip back. And I'll start complaining. Or I'll say something stupid like, oh, my back is hurting so bad today. Well, what did I just do? I just kicked my seed out of the ground. My little plant, maybe it was blade length coming up out of the ground. I just grabbed it and ripped it out of the ground and tossed it away. What, using today's analogy, I went back to my old name, Gary the man with pain, instead of Gary the man healed by God. God, forgive me, Lord. Forgive us all. Forgive me, Lord. After Jesus suffering such a terrible price to provide healing for us, you know, thank God for his mercy endures forever. Thank God his mercies are new every morning. Thank God for 1 John 1:9, that if we confess our sin, he is faithful not only to forgive us, but to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And I have to go back again and I say, Father, I'm so sorry. I went back to my old name. I went back to who I was, not who I am. Because your word doesn't change. Your word says I am healed. Your word says I am pain-free because he bore my sicknesses and carried my pains. And Father, I ask you to forgive me for going back to the world's way. There's Romans 12:2, be no longer conformed to this world. Well, what did I do? I just set it back conforming to the world. Oh, my back is, the pain is hurting me so bad today. Well, that's conforming to the world, isn't it? That's just calling things that are the way they are. And like I say, calling things that are the way they are will not change what are because it already are. Okay. But I got to call those things which be not as though they already are. Well, that means I got to say what God says. What's your name, Gary? I am healed. That's who I am. I am healed. Do you feel the pain in your back? Now, for today's lesson, I'm going to tell you yes, I feel it. But if I'm really going to do this correctly, I'm going to say all I can say to you is, I am healed. What about pain? I am pain free. Well, how can you say that? Because himself bore my sicknesses and carried my pains. He already carried my pains. If he carried them, I don't carry it. See? All things, I'm hearing it again. All things are possible to him that believes. We're the ground. It's up to us if we're going to get the stones out, get the thorns burn up, allow the Holy Spirit through mainly praying in other tongues and meditation of the Word, and allow the Holy Spirit to rain on our ground and make it soft again, plow it up, and get it ready. But see, we've got to receive the new name that God has given us. And what I mean by that is our identity. Your name is who you are. Your name is who you are. What do you answer to? When the intercom calls out for those in pain, I'm not going to raise my hand anymore, even though I may feel it at that moment. And I may be See, here's the thing. Payne is a preacher. Payne preaches about 24 hours a day if you're in chronic pain. It's going to always be telling you you're not healed. See, God's word doesn't change. Jesus isn't going to come and bear it again. He's already done it. So faith has to believe what God says in spite of the physical circumstances. Same thing with Abraham and Sarah. The physical circumstances said impossible. There isn't any way. But they had a word from God. And God had to change their identity, had to change their name to match the promise. I am the father of a multitude. Bless God, he was too. They become the, sure enough, they had Isaac. Well, if I hold to who I am, this new name that God's given me of healed Gary and pain-free Gary, if I hold to it, that's who I am. I am pain-free. See, God, I want to say that sentence again the way he said it to me. The kind of confession that transforms the soul. Now, this is Romans 12:2. The kind of confession that transforms the soul must be more affirmative. It must be like Abraham's. I am the father of many nations. I am the father of many nations. I just want to encourage you today. Listen. Gary needs crop failure from the words in the past where I've talked about how my back hurts me and stuff. There's nothing else you can do. Just repent. Go to 1 John 1:9. Father, I'm asking for crop failure on all those words I spoke. I'm starting again. I'm planting again, Father. I'm receiving your word into me. I'm going to say about me what you say. I'm not going to say anything else. I am pain-free. I am healed. I am your child. I am the righteousness of God in Christ. I am your son, and I am a believer. And all things are possible unto me. Well, I think that's enough for this week. We'll continue on with this next time. Love you so much. Miss all of you so much. We'll see you again soon. Bye-bye for now.